New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, the regular season's wrapped up. We are gearing up, of course, for the college football playoff. We've got the Arizona State Sun Devils in there out of the Big 12. They're on one of those four byes. And Josh Pate needs no introduction to this audience. Of course, his college football show rocking all the time on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. So, Josh, you have been to Arizona State. You went to a game this season. You were at the Big 12 championship game. What do you make of the way this Sun Devils team and this program has completely turned things around under a guy who's all of 34 years old in Kenny Dillingham?
Well, so I was out there when we went out there for the Brigham Young game. I was hanging around with the staff on Friday or Thursday. It was actually Thursday I was out there. And, you know, like Kenny's the kind of dude who's you're just hanging out with. You could go out to lunch with him or whatever. And I'm doing the show from there that night. And he said, do you need me on the show? And normally the booking process, folks, for those unfamiliar, works a little bit different than that. And so I said, if you want to come on the show, come on the show. So he comes on the show, and I asked him, if you're 34 years old, that makes you one of the youngest coaches in America, but do you feel young? He said, well, if you think about it, no, because this is my 17th year of coaching, because I was so bad as an athlete in high school that they had to tell me, stop playing. And so I started coaching in high school. So he's like, yeah, I know 34 looks young, but I feel like a veteran. I don't feel young at all. And so, I mean, to take that program, you know this, and I think most people watching know this, but I don't think the country understands how lost, like how left for dead that whole place was after the Herm Edwards stuff. And I call what they've had sort of a competitive ignorance. It's almost like you don't know you're supposed to fail, and so you end up not failing. And you end up swerving the car as it's headed towards the cliff, and you're back on the road and you're winning. And now they've got some traction in recruiting and in the portal. Almost also, it kind of feels like the sort of team that gets that late season momentum. And you're thinking to yourself, like, wait, what are they capable of? They could be one and done for all we know, but what are they capable of? Because they got some dangerous pieces on that team.
They do. Now, when you interview coaches all over the country, and you know, you do it during the off season, sometimes in season, you talk to the best in this sport. I don't believe you can put Kenny Dillingham in that conversation right now, but does he have whatever that it factor is when you talk to these guys? Does he have whatever that is?
Yeah, it's a different kind though. So if you were to sit down with Kirby and you were to sit down with Kenny Dillingham, those are two very different guys. But what's interesting is I've learned more and more is as long as you know your stuff, you're a hard worker, you know ball, you know people, and by know people, I mean you know how to deal with people, not you have connections. You'll develop those in time. As long as you check those boxes and you remain your authentic self, you'll succeed in the coaching world. Most guys run afoul of the fourth rule there. They don't remain themselves. When they get handed the keys to the car, they start acting like other coaches. They start mimicking and mirroring the tendencies and personality traits of guys that they've seen do it successfully before. Kenny Dillingham knows not to do that. I think it's one of the wisest things that normally takes a long time to learn, but he gets it, is that as long as I don't try and be Kirby Smart, because I'd look stupid trying to be Kirby Smart. People wouldn't take me serious if I acted like Kirby Smart. As long as I'm myself and I've got the right staff here, then that's how you make it work. Well, that's the it factor. Like the it factor is a guy that sort of emanates this energy that you can feel pulsating through the building. You can see it reflected in the way that everyone else goes about their business. You can see it ultimately on Saturdays. That's called culture. That's called identity. That's how we learn what a program is made of. And in an ideal world, the culture and identity of a program reflects a thumbprint of the head coach. At Arizona State, it should feel different than it did at Nick Saban's Alabama or Jim Harbaugh's Michigan, because that's Kenny Dillingham being his self. Yeah, I think he's got an it factor. I just think the it factor has got to be defined custom to which coach we're talking about.
So then what about the ceiling? I mean, we talked last in August before the season, and it was, hey, this Big 12's wide open. Now, Arizona State was picked literally dead last, 16th in this league in the preseason poll, and shows what we know. But when you look at like what this team can become in a wide open Big 12 that I think we all know is going to turn over year after year, there's not a blue blood. Can Arizona State under Dillingham be that team where you say year in, year out, maybe they're what we thought Utah was going to be, what Oklahoma State was going to be, that team that's in that top three, top four conversation? Is that Arizona State?
I don't think anyone's going to be that every year in the Big 12. I think it's a really interesting profile of a conference right now. Things could change. It's very hard to nail this conference down, as we just attested to. But what I think is going to happen is you can put yourself in the best possible position. So the program, Arizona State, absolutely, yes. The answer to your question is yes. They can position themselves to be in one of the three or four best positions as a program. Okay, so then all that means is your staff's good, your culture's good, you're putting a good product on the field, your engagement's good, your NIL and collective situation is up to par, and you've then got an opportunity to put yourself in position to just, you know, go into a season and you've got a variety of outcomes that could come your way. And the better position you put yourself in, the more likely the outcome is good. But the reason I keep sounding like I'm talking in word salad, but I'm not, I'm getting to a point here, is Oklahoma State has been the kind of team we're talking about. They have been a model program. They've been rock solid under Gundy. So all of a sudden, what'd they go, 3-9? Wasn't that their final record? So they throw a 3-9 out there this year. Okay. You can either think that Mike Gundy forgot how to coach, you can believe the sport left him behind, or you can believe what I happen to believe, and that is in a conference where you don't have a bunch of top 10 recruiting programs, you've got to bake in the possibility that you could just have a dead season thrown in there now, because you do not have the same bullets in the chamber that a Georgia would to backfill if you were to lose talent. So it's like a very, very thin layer of ice every year, and if you break through, you break through. It used to be guy like Gundy, for example, his best case would be 11-1. Felt like his worst case was 7-5. Like if everything goes wrong, 7-5. Now it's 11-1, 3-9. Everything, the total spectrum of outcome is in play. So what I'm trying to say is the answer to your question could be yes. Kenny Dillingham could have Arizona State exactly in the sweet spot of where they need to be. And over a given 4-year period, there could be a 5-7 in there. There could be an 11-1. There could be a 9-3. There could be a 10-2. But there could also be a 5-7, 4-8 baked in there, just because I think that's the volatile nature of that conference right now.
But are we looking at that volatility in some ways across the entire sport? Does it take one program to say, I've got a guy dumping $30, $40 million into NIL and it completely upends a conference? Like, how realistic is that with where the sport is right now?
I think, yes, you're dealing with it. The difference is, in the Big Ten and the SEC, they can afford the top quarterbacks. So in the SEC and the Big Ten, you could have a quarterback injury, obviously. But if you don't, that's where the highest priced quarterbacks are going to be. That's the most important position in the sport. They can also usually afford the premier line of scrimmage talent. So that doesn't make you immune to what we're talking about, but it does make you a little more fortified, a little less prone to one or two injuries or one or two defections derailing your season. But, I mean, just before you and I were talking, as we're recording here, I was getting texts back and forth from some folks at Alabama. They're going through it right now. They got a couple of big names that have gone in the portal. And it's just, it's not like that's a poverty program or anything like that. But you've got some big spenders out there. And I think most of us know who they are. And the other thing, Pete, is we don't know that that's just going to remain the landscape. We don't know with revenue sharing coming into play. you like to think you know. I've got theories just like you probably do, but we don't actually know if we hit the fast forward button 5 years what that's done to the sport. Maybe it takes out a lot of the volatility. Fingers crossed that it does, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. So speaking of Gundy, who do you have more confidence in turning things around for next season, Mike Gundy or is it Kyle Whittingham, two guys who we all thought would be playing for a Big 12 championship potentially? They finished at the bottom of the standings. Which program do you look at and say that program can turn it back around quicker?
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hessilo V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I need to know how much tread Whittingham has left on the tires. That's the one thing I wonder about. Utah as a program, same theory in play as I talked about with Oklahoma State. You got to allow the possibility for a dead season. There's just been rumblings around there that Whittingham, you know, may not be in it for the long stretch. Now, who knows? Maybe Mike Gundy's not either, but I feel like Mike Gundy is not walking around whispering the retirement word, maybe like Kyle Whittingham would be. So if you were to promise me, hey, Whittingham's got a good 5-6 years left, he's not going anywhere, probably, maybe Utah. But at the same time, I've always been really high on Mike Gundy. I'm one of the people, by the way, like you just said, that picked them to be in Dallas playing for the Big 12 championship. I wonder what kind of effect this season had on him. Not in a sense of maybe it drives him away from the sport or anything like that. I wonder, is there any kind of wake-up call? Does it force you to look in the mirror? Does it maybe make you self-assess and look at your program and change things? Or does he look at it and say, what I just said, we're doing it right. It's just, this can happen now. This is in the cards now. I'm curious about that. So I think I actually may have just talked myself into Oklahoma State. They're both good. They're both good coaches, man. They both know what they're doing. And I will say this, if it is true that the like radically changing nature of the sport left one of them behind, it probably left both of them behind. So I think if we're looking at a situation that's permanent, probably permanent for both of them. So there's probably no right answer.
Now you look at where the sport's at right now, and there's a million different angles we could take here, but the one I want to jump on is championship weekend. I mean, you saw ticket prices on the secondary market, $10 to see Oregon and Penn State. The buys are a joke. I love Arizona State having a buy, but I admit it's ridiculous. They have a top four seeded buy. So is championship weekend going to get killed off in favor of a 16 team playoff? And you do just a 1 versus 16 that first Saturday in December. What would you do, Josh Pate? How would you change this? If you are commissioner, which I know you fantasized about.
Yeah. So if you told me I have to keep this structure we're in, I think what I would probably do, even if I weren't the commissioner, if I were just the commissioner of the SEC or the Big Ten, I would look at this look-in provision that we have coming up, which is the 2026 and beyond playoff. So they're going to restructure this thing. That's coming for those of you who are of the wait and see variety. It's coming. We just don't know what the change is going to be. What I would advocate for, again, if you don't let me go back in time 15 years and change it all, I got to live in the here and now. What I would do is I would say there's no way I'm getting rid of those conference championship weekends because they're worth too much. We got too much money sunk into it. What I would do is totally redefine what that weekend is. So I hate auto bids like the plague, just like you said. But if we're living in that world, I'd actually do what they tried to do this past summer. I would actually push for having guaranteed amounts of conference seats at the playoff table. If you were to expand to 14 or whatever, I don't care what the field is, but if I know I'm the SEC or if I'm the Big Ten, if I've got four guaranteed seats, just for the sake of argument, what that allows me to do then is it allows me to not worry about whether the committee is going to put my teams in or not. At that point, I'm focused on my conference races. And what I do with that conference championship Saturday is I totally re-engineer it. And I would look at that playoff table and I would say, all right, starting in August, I know we're going to get four teams in if I'm the SEC or if I'm the Big Ten. Here's what I think I should do. I think I should take the top two teams in the league based on conference standings and not even make them play in a conference title game. That's their reward. They're going to go and get our first two seats at the table. Then I'm going to take 3 versus 6 and 4 versus 5 in my league standings, and I'm going to have them play in two play-in games on that conference championship Saturday. So I'm actually adding a second piece of valuable inventory for my media partner. They're not conference championship games anymore, but they're still happening on the same day. They've got massive implications on them. They're must watch. They are for a spot in the playoff. And the winners of those two games get your third and fourth seats. I do the same thing in the Big Ten. I think what would happen is if you negotiated it that way, the ACC wouldn't get as many guaranteed seats. The Big 12 wouldn't get as many guaranteed seats. But in exchange for guaranteed seats, given how little leverage they have in the room right now, again, I hate this, but it is what it is. I think that's the format they'll probably end up pursuing.
Now, please tell me, under this theory, these games are on campus and not in some neutral site Atlanta stadium.
Well, dude, I'd have every one of them on campus. I mean, I can't stand it. And then
I know
we're you know, as you and I are speaking, we're coming up on the first round games, and you start hearing these whispers about how they've lowered the amount of student tickets so that they can increase the amount of, you know, general sales tickets. The playoff has their hand in stadium operations. It's like the most simple concept, just giving folks on-campus playoff games. There is nothing around here that cannot be ruined if the wrong hands are put on it.
Well, I saw, and I'm sure you saw this, an SMU fan has to go to Charlotte for an ACC championship game. Then they've got to go to State College, not an easy trip. And then if they get to a national title, I'm not predicting that, but you got three more neutral site games. How many fans are affording five trips of that nature? Does the fan ever get back to the forefront of the conversation, Josh?
No. It's ironic because that's what the sport is supposed to be based on and built for. No. I have said for a long time, the critical decisions being made in the, you know, in the name of the greater good of college football, you'll notice that there are two words that lack in the explanation. One is fan and the other is player. You really don't hear either one when they're talking about expanding the playoff, when they're talking about format. They never talk about fan or player because that's not who it's built for. You need the fans, you need the players to make the mechanisms go, but it's ultimate. I think we all understand what it's for. Yes, they would be in home stadiums if it were up to me. But I think about it, you know, I think about what you're talking about there and how, you know, I'm blessed enough to just go and cover them and get paid to do it. So, but I remember a time not too long ago where I was dead broke. And I can even think all the way back to before that, when I'm a kid, I'm begging my parents to make my birthday present and Christmas present football tickets. And then I get a little bit older into adulthood and I'm trying to think, all right, can I afford to buy this ticket in the 300s and also make my truck payment? Can I miss a month on the truck payment? Like, those are decisions I used to make. So I think about being a fan and I want to be all in. And what you ask me to do now, you ask me to go season tickets, which folks like me can never afford. But even if you don't do the season tickets, probably go to a couple of games during the season. If you want to go to a conference title game and then potentially 1, 2, 3, 4 playoff games, those are $500+ ticket expenditures, not to mention travel, not to mention lodging. You've long since priced 99% of your fan base out of the equation.
No, you have. And of course, the sport really, as you know, isn't interested, it seems like, in getting that average fan back. So looking at this, Josh, we'll tie it back to Arizona State and the college football playoff here coming up. The ceiling, you know, I think they're do I think they're going to a national title? No. Do I think they're a sneaky team in that second round against Texas or a Clemson? Yes. So when you look at this Arizona State team, is it just a program playing with house money, or can they make a little noise in this thing?
No, I'd absolutely say they're playing with house money. I don't believe in saying someone has nothing to lose, because if you're playing in a game, you have the game to lose. But I do think they will play with a nothing to lose mentality. Football games are long, but if you think about sometimes in the past, we've seen in these double digit favorite type situations, the underdog gets up by double digits early. If that were to happen with Arizona State, they could beat either of the teams that they may play. Now, I'd be pulling for Clemson because I think I've got a better shot against Clemson than I do against Texas. But I look at that matchup in the second round. I think that's in Atlanta. I look at that matchup unlike some of the others. I do not look at that one as a foregone conclusion. I absolutely think that one will be competitive. It should be competitive. There are several players on that Arizona State team that would be able to play on either of those rosters they'd be facing. So I know that they'll give them their best shot, and Arizona State's best shot has been pretty deadly down the stretch.
Well, he is Josh Pate. You got to check out his show. I know many of you likely do. Josh Pate's College Football Show. He's part of the CBS Sports crew as well, doing work for those folks. I'm Pete Mundo, Heartland College Sports. Make sure you are subscribed to us covering the Big 12 Conference. Josh, we appreciate it, man. Enjoy the games, and we'll talk to you soon. Keep up the great work.
I appreciate it, man.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.